100% listener supported station. So please help us out. Hook us up. Show us some love. Hit that site support button. Send us a check or PayPal order if you so choose. Help us continue to bring you this deep programming. If you're supportive of me, you can go to patreon.com/ghostmachine or gofund.me/ghostmachine. Food for Liberty is my independent sponsor. I've teamed up with them to offer you a high quality, GMO free, non-MSG storable food with a 25-year shelf life. You may say that your order is on the way and all reports are the food is delicious. It's all true. So get some high quality storable food. Support this show. Go to foodforliberty.com/ghost. Okay, everybody, sorry about all those technical difficulties. We are here. Vinny Eastwood is going to be my producer today, so if I'm taking calls, I'll let Vinny know to answer any calls if you want to have a chat later on. But I'm here with Susan Posel and Vinny Eastwood, who have become the premier authorities on the I don't know what the word would be, but the scumbaggery of Pete Santilli, because all these things are very important. We're going to be talking about Oregon today, which I know the station's been ad nauseum about it, but it hasn't been ad nauseum for me, other than a couple of guest appearances on other people's broadcasts, like once or twice this week, because I took the week off. So today is all about this. All right, so I guess we'll get things started here. Vinny, Susan, how are you?
I'm somewhat fabulous. That's my standard response.
Somewhat. Oh, you should be always super fabulous. But anyway,
I could be supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
But the sound of that sounds something quite atrocious.
Well, it depends if you're being emotive.
Ah, yes, I'm very animated, quote unquote. Anyway. Anyway.
Oh, damn, I'm good.
Yes. Susan, you there? Susan.
Hello.
Yes, there you are.
Yes, and everybody hello? Calls her Susan. It's actually Suzanne, like Susan plus Anne equals Suzanne. All right, Steve, for future reference.
It's true.
Suzanne. Yes, fine. Suzanne. Yes, so we got Suzanne Posel from what is it? It's Occupy Corporatism, right?
Yes. .com.
Yes. So Occupy Corporatism, what is that? .org?
.com.
.com. And Vinny, your give us your information.
Well, I am Vinny Eastwood. I'm a talk radio show host on American Freedom Radio, and I have a YouTube channel, Mr. News, Guerrilla Media. Some people have called me the Alex Jones of New Zealand, and I call Alex Jones the Vinny Eastwood of America. So essentially, I make videos, public meetings, protests, and interview activists and things of that nature who the mainstream media do not interview, do not give a platform to, and I give them extended hours on air in a friendly, comfortable, supportive, and honest, emotionally open environment so that they can talk about what they know and what they have done in their life without restriction, and feel comfortable enough to tell me things and tell my audience things that you won't hear them say on other broadcasts that are really, really super professional and have all these pre-prepared questions and don't have my ability to just be a real human being, because we're dealing with other real human beings here, activists and things like that, who have,
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I know exactly what you mean, which is actually one of the things I really wanted to bring up in talking about it is that it seems that we've gone into mainstream media blackout phase of the Oregon situation, which what that means is media blackouts in these kinds of situations. I have noticed typically means that the government doesn't have control of the situation. They don't, meaning that, like, even if they do have an intended shill, that they aren't getting the results that they want. So they don't like the narrative. It doesn't play well on TV. It doesn't have the political gains that the left and the right are looking for. It doesn't have the criminality legalities that the center, effectively.
Steve, one second. As producer here, we're getting a call in from the Revolution Radio switchboard. I believe that's Hawk. Should we add him to the call?
Yeah, let him in.
Just
let
press
him in.
The plus.
Absolutely.
All right, there we go. Hawk, welcome to the program.
That's my job, damn it. Hi, Hawk.
Yeah, I Steve, love you, man, but sometimes you kind of mess up the narrative of what happens, so.
Okay,
this is what happened last night, okay? We've been 3 days arranging interviews with Finnegan, Ammon Bundy, Three Percenters, everybody. We were literally set up, ready to go in the meeting room out there at the Refuge. I had Jason Bentatenov out there. We were ready to go. We advertised it. I even had a request from Fox News for access to rerun portions of the video. I said no because you know how that goes. No matter what it is, mainstream media, they're going to cut it up and make it fit.
The narrative, I think is what you say. Hawk has just dropped out and he's now reconnected. Hawk, welcome back.
All right, I'm back. Anyway, so I don't know where I was, but
bring you back in. So where you were was you didn't want to give the information or the video rather to the mainstream media because they cut up to suit their own purposes and continue.
Right, exactly. So at the exact, I was literally getting ready to click broadcast, go live. Finnegan was sitting down. He was waving to me. And there was such a massive coordinated network attack that happened across the board. Everyone at the site's phones went flatline. Two hotspots went flatline. Our IRC server was 3 gig DDoS until our chat room, our IRC server went down. Damn near two-thirds of our broadcast servers in the server chain, everything in the United States. I have servers in Italy. I have servers in Norway. I have servers in Germany, servers in the United States, and I have one in Brazil so I can keep, offline chains going so that no matter what, we don't go down. Anything that was in the United States went down. My personal computer got such a heavy-duty DDoS, it went down. I mean, it rebooted because it just, I have software that says, you're in danger. We're going to reboot to get rid of this. My network router, which nobody should be able to hack, shut itself off 16 times in 2 minutes and rebooted. I mean, we got flatlined across the board to the point all I could do was sit and look at my logs in horror and go, what the hell just happened? And this was so coordinated that there is no way this was anything but like some kind of NSA-like kind of operation, because this is nothing. I mean, this isn't even something I personally think like the Anonymous Bunch could pull off. I mean, this was coordinated and blacked out across the board, all across the country, at the exact prescribed advertised time that we were taking this on air.
It sounds like a direct sabotage to me. This is, you're not the only one, actually. I've received at least two reports from anonymous sources saying, who are close to Pete Santilli and the Oregon situation at the moment, who also have had reported similar things to me. Their website's been completely destroyed, taken down. Their cell phones won't work. They're out of coverage zones when they're standing next to other people whose cell phones are working. There's something very strange going on there.
Yeah, it is extremely suspicious, but yet, not saying anything, but Pete Santilli always seems to get out.
He has had zero interruptions to his live stream.
He's had interruptions, but his interruptions is because he's a freaking thrashing retard, and he's always moving around. I've looked at all these other things that he's on. He's always trying to photobomb into the Fox News, CNN, whoever's shooting. He's always trying to get in there, and he's waving his arms around like he's directing an orchestra to try to make it look like he's running this operation. Fox News keeps telling telling people he's the spokesman for this movement when he is not. And, you know, and it's starting to piss me off because, you know, we had a guy there with the same equipment, actually more sophisticated equipment, was there, and we spent 3 days. He spent a lot of money. Oath Keeper spent a lot of money. I spent a lot of money, and we got nothing, literally nothing done because of cell jamming. So anyway, that's what happened.
That's yeah. This is a really high level operation that's going on here. This is actually something of great importance to the Intel community, I think, because it's a great opportunity where they can set up a bunch of Patriots who are armed, make Patriots just in general, and anybody who wants to keep their guns and anybody who wants to, you know, farm the land or whatever, possibly look like a crazy, you know, militiaman, etc. And, you know, hopefully, if it's possible, start a hot war with the Patriots so that, you know, the government will have the perfect justification to crack down on all these quote-unquote rednecks.
I think that ultimately
after the new gun law sets, that's exactly what's going to happen. And they're comparing, you know, the new turban is the cowboy hat now. That's the another addition to this narrative. Go ahead, Steve. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm still pissed over last night because of all the work that we have gone through and the money that's been spent to do something that no other network has been able to do, including the mass media, was to get in and actually talk to the guys, all the names, three percenters, Oath Keepers, everybody, Patriot, you know, the Pacific Patriot Network, Finicum, Bundy, both the Bundys, everybody was in the room ready to go,
right,
to have an exclusive conference to tell everybody what the hell was going on, and it all went to crap. At 4 days of work, And the money spent, and not just my money, you know, Oath Keepers organization spent money on this. Jason spent money on this. He has to go home tonight. You know, his wife's getting pissed. He's been there for 4 days. So, you know, all the work we did, it's over. And I got nobody else to send. And I can't go myself, so.
Yeah.
Well, I'll shut up.
Yeah, we can stand on the outside of the walls and throw rocks into it. I mean, that's about as best as we can do. At this point, and well, so you got really, really badly thwarted there, and there's a hell of a lot of coverage and a hell of a lot of presence that Revolution Radio cannot exert simply because of this attack, yeah?
Well, the attack and the money, I mean, I can't afford to go out there. Not only can I not afford to go out there, imagine if I was in Oregon and this happened.
Hey.
Be down till I got flown home.
Hawk, you know who can make it out there? Who can afford to make it out there with his crew and afford a $30 to $100 a day for live streaming and afford a hotel and the truck and everything to get out there and a sidearm with spare ammunition and everything like that. And you know who gets led away from the cops after being pulled up with an illegal concealed carry permit in the car, you know, and gets let off the next day with $0 bail with absolutely no recompense and just somehow very soon after winds up in Oregon with a whole bunch of armed protesters and all of that kind of stuff with a hell of a lot of money that apparently just never runs out. Pete Santilli.
Pretty much. The lighter side of genocide.
see, I saw a video this morning. I'm in contact with a dude. I forget his name. It might be. I think it's Mr. Allen, and he is doing videos exposing Pete Santilli at the moment. And the latest one that I just saw, I finished watching it not 5 minutes before the broadcast here started. And it says Pete Santilli goes into damage control. And he's right. Days ago, myself, Suzanne Posel, by the way, we're talking over and we're not letting Suzanne speak. So we'll come to her in just a second. But anyway,
I'm sure you've got a bunch to add here, and it's kind of gone a little.
I just want to finish my sentence. I'm sorry. So I just wanted to, you know, remind myself of that before I forget.
It's all good. It's anyway, all good. So Suzanne, talk to us.
So the this person apparently is Oh, sorry. Santilli is now going on his live stream saying, oh, there's all these trolls and shills and government agents and all of that kind of stuff spreading these fake faxes and such and blah, blah, blah. He doesn't have any idea the shitstorm that myself and Suzanne Posel are about to release on him. We are doing the expose to end all exposés, okay? His entire history, okay? From him being in the Marines all the way through till today, okay? Everything is documented. Everything is screenshotted. We've got screenshots from the SEC, fax documents, legal documents. We've got the whole nine yards. Nobody will be able to see this video and not hear the truth. Specifically, because it's got subtitles, so even if you can't hear anything, you can read it. Oh my God, it's going to be good.
Now, Susan hasn't spoken at all, so Suzanne, please speak.
Well, Nighthawk, you had asked if Pete Santilli was actually in the military. Yes, he was. He got up to the rank of E4, which is Lance Corporal. It's the minimum rank that you can get. And he basically, his job was to move boxes from planes to trucks. And then somehow he broke his leg and didn't even have to do that, and served his minimum 5 years and left.
So he was a janitor.
Well, he was one of the people when the planes would come in with supplies, with arms or weapons or anything that they needed on the base. He was in charge of removing the boxes from the plane to the appropriate trucks so they could be then placed where they needed to be.
He was a bag boy. He was a dockman. He was like a warehouse guy.
Yes.
He's the kind of job that the US military was trying to outsource to Halliburton, like, you know, 10, 15 years ago.
No, he basically did the bare minimum it took for him to remain in the armed forces. And this is not the kind of person that the military wants or needs, and you and I should not want these people in our armed forces either, because these are the people who are called not only to possibly give the ultimate sacrifice, but to be able to get the function completed properly and efficiently. Someone who's doing the bare minimum, it's like that guy many years ago when I was working in retail, there was always that one guy who no matter what was just standing around whistling. They took forever to move shopping carts. They took forever to stock shelves.
That's they all work for the road department now.
Yes, exactly.
Right. So
isn't that the job description for working on road building crews, to stand around with a sign and look at stuff?
Pete would be great at that.
Sorry, I'm being funny. I've got to be a little bit humorous about this at this point, or I'm going. Last night I was literally about to pull out my AR-15 and just shoot all this stuff.
Oh, you were gonna have a Rambo First Blood Part 2 moment, weren't you?
I was so incredibly angry. I couldn't even maintain my language. I still am apologizing to people at email for my language last night. But really, really, when you spend days working on something and it all explodes at the very
last. If ever a person is justified for having a temper tantrum, I think this, qualifies. You know, we've all stuck our necks out.
That is literally what I did. I had a freaking temper tantrum. My mic was live. I forgot about it. And I'm running around here screaming and all kinds of.
If you just had some of that sweet trucker constitution money, God, you might have been.
No kidding.
Because that's probably where half of his current resources are coming from. Oh, my God. And so, like, look, my goal here with this panel that I've assembled for you today is to get all of these base facts out to kind of stitch the perspective together the right way, because we need answers. The most important thing we got to take away from this is that it's not just like a bitch fest about Pete Santilli and the Bundys thinking that he's going to be their savior or any nonsense like that. Although that's also important. But right. I see it as we need to harvest as many answers from this event as possible. It's one of those situations where you know, you turn on the light switch and the cockroaches scatter. You want to see which little holes the cockroaches are running into, so that way when you call the Orkin man with his little Terminator getup from the commercials, he can eradicate them accurately. So we're basically we're trying to follow all the connections to Pete Santilli, all the connections to the local sheriff, all the connections to the Bureau of Land Management, because this is also a BLM thing, right? The BLM. Right.
Yeah, actually, listen, they just went down and started tearing down BLM fences. And unfortunately, again, our live stream, I had no choice but to use Pete Santilli because nobody else was there, or actually the people that were there could not even get out. I'm going to get off of here, but I do want to say one thing. Here's what I'm going to be trying to do. I'm going to be trying to raise some funds so I can build a remote broadcast kit that I can give to anyone or even myself that's going to include a GoPro, a net-capable sat phone, and a web box, which is it's an antenna that hits a satellite. I'm sure y'all probably seen them on, you know, your MI5 and spy movies and stuff. But it's like a briefcase that has a satellite phone in it. And I'm gonna hold on. I'm gonna stop your break. So
yeah, that's good. Go ahead and stop it.
There we go. Okay.
So we're gonna try to raise the funds to make a remote broadcast kit with the GoPro cam and all that kind of stuff. I don't even know how much it costs. I got to go research that. But the next time something like this happens, I need to be able to send somebody with the right equipment to be able to actually get out of these holes. So anyway, that's kind of the gist of that. I'm going to turn it back over to you and get off here. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks for dropping that hook. All right.
So
no problem. Bye.
So here's the thing that I want to focus on, because I think, like, we've had plenty of ad nauseum, I think, throughout at least the weekend, on giving the Revolution Radio audience a strong and clear, you know, understanding of Pete Santilli and how he is not a straight man. Like, I don't mean like sexuality. I mean, like, he's not being straight with the public. I think, but the most important thing here is that there's a very noble cause that we know is at the heart and soul of this, which goes beyond even the Bundys, especially because the Bundys chose this fight. The first fight was forced upon them. This fight, they chose. You know, they went all the way out of effing state. They're not even in a conservative state like they were in Nevada. So, my big question is, if you guys have an answer, is the BLM. What is their primary function on this Oregon land? Because all of this is kind of, I think the main reason why this is all happening is that the Bundys kind of know their enemy and they believe in taking a stand against their enemy. And their enemy is specifically the Bureau of Land Management, I think, because they know how to deal with that particular monster. Suzanne, I want to let you have the floor on this first, because it's only fair with the amount of time that everybody else has sucked up in the first 30 minutes of my show.
The BLM, well, okay. Let's go back to 1890. So in 1890, we had cattle barons. The biggest cattle baron in the United States, or in America at the time, was Peter French. He's not a Frenchman. And so he ran everything. He even ran ranchers off their property. He was such a big deal that one of the homesteaders in the area killed him. And what happened was the area, including what we're talking about with the refuge, became overgrazed. Drought set in. Ranchers were going bankrupt. And so the BLM stepped in and said, "We'll buy this land." They each rancher that paid or allowed the BLM to purchase it got what is the equivalent today of millions of dollars for it, including grazing rights, including only being charged $1.35 as of 2014 per cow, which is what Clive and Bundy was paying. If he had gone to one of his neighbors, one of his patriot neighbors, he would have paid about $20 per cow per month. So getting back to the BLM and this refuge, the BLM gave grazing rights to the ranchers, and by 1968, they were again going bankrupt. They had overgrazed the land. They had overgrazed the refuge land that they were paying to use. And so the BLM, in order to save this land and allow it to flourish again, because you have to be able to, like when you're farming, you have to rotate your fields, because if you don't, you deplete all of the natural resources and the land cannot recuperate from 6 or 9 months of direct farming consistently. So that's what this fight is. With the Hammonds, unfortunately, their hands are not clean. They were poaching. They were trying to cover that up. And they were not paying their taxes. So we have a problem with destroying 137 acres of public land, which belongs to everyone, not just the ranchers there, but it's public land for everyone to use. And with the what is considered arson, the unfortunateness of the Hammonds was they were charged with a law that was passed right after the Oklahoma City bombing. So the minimum sentence for this law is 5 years. Now, I am not a big fan of mandatory minimums. I despise the fact that we've been dealing with this since the Reagan era, and we have a prison industrial complex because of it. We have private corporations running prisons because of it. We have an entire industry that didn't exist before Reagan and Bush and Clinton put these laws into place. And so when the Hammonds were originally sentenced, unfortunately, the law is the law. And so they have to go back. It's not that they are being, it's not double jeopardy. Double jeopardy only applies to murder, okay? But it's not double jeopardy in the fact that the law says you have to serve a minimum, and the minimum sentence is 5 years. I think that that's egregious considering the crime. I don't think that they should be poaching, and I certainly don't think that they should allow a fire to get to the point where it destroys 137 acres of public land. However,
I have an important question with the poaching. There are a lot of things that, through legalese, they take a common colloquial term that everybody agrees on, has a particular meaning, which has a particular impression upon your mind when you're told it. You know, we all have a particular idea of the definition of poaching. What is the Bureau of Land Management's definition of poaching? Because I'm assuming they're the ones that are giving the poaching evidence to whoever is in charge of prosecution or investigation. And I want to know what exactly that poaching means, because, look, I've had trouble with the law myself, practices of civil disobedience, and you can make any noble act seem like an atrocious indignity to life in any way, shape, or form. I mean, we're talking about minimum mandatory sentences, which a great deal of that was based on fears that, you know, people that do drugs are all inherently violent degenerates, and thus it was a complete dehumanizing factor, especially for minorities.
Violent degenerates. Do you know who doesn't have to worry about mandatory minimum sentencing for carrying a concealed weapon and a loaded one in a car, which you're not allowed to do, with extra ammunition, each of which come with a mandatory minimum sentence of 1 year and up to 5 years for each offense? Four at the same time. You know who doesn't have to worry about that kind of thing? Pete Santilli.
I wish you paused a moment for me to respond, because I was gonna say, does it rhyme with Schmee and Finelli or some nonsense where it sounded like Pete Santilli.
Well, but it certainly doesn't rhyme with Abbott and Costello.
Yes. So anyway, okay, so I've wrapped up my long-winded version of just saying, what's the definition of poaching?
Okay, so the definition of poaching is the illegal practice of trespassing on another person's property to hunt or steal game without the landowner's permission and to encroach on another person's property rights, ideas, and the like.
Gotcha.
So here with the Hammonds, we're talking about deer and elk populations who were being affected by what they were doing, which was killing them for their own personal consumption.
Well, the Bundys are genociding the little tortoises with their cattle, didn't you know? So the Bundys are like Hitler.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but here's a point that we all need to just realize. We live in a biosphere, and whether or not we realize it, it's just an understanding of ecology and biodiversity. We all affect each other. So the entire planet was created so that each one of the life forms that contribute to the planet contribute also to the other life forms in its immediate and larger area. So as we see species dying off at an exorbitant rate right now, And I agree that it's a little bit oversensitive and it's overcautious. It's like helicopter parenting to get all crazy about a tortoise. But if you look at the grander scheme of things, historically speaking, especially in this country, because we have had so many ranchers and so many farmers using the land, we have had a problem going all the way back to the 1500s when this whole thing started, where we overuse land and therefore it changes the ecosystem in that area. And sometimes the repercussions are not reversible. And so that affects other migratory patterns. It affects, eventually it's like the butterfly effect. It affects everything in the country.
Oh, certainly. Was any evidence presented that the Ammons in their illegal act of poaching by the government's own definition was causing that? Because like, unless they were spending money on huge like parties of people that were like making big sweeps on a regular basis, you know, like if it's just like a couple of guys hunting once in a while, catching, to do their poaching, like that's not ecosystem. That's just people, you know, like that's like that guy on the internet, like that from like a couple of years ago where like he had to go to like some local municipality court to deal with a fine that was imposed upon him for fishing in a public lake. And, you know, his whole argument was that I need to live and to eat and I have a right to sustain for myself. And, you know, it's public, you know, public land by definition. You know, you have a right to be there and to enjoy the public law as is writ, which would be i.e. state constitution, United States Constitution. As far as I understand it, so that's what I want to get down to the bottom of. Was this guy because I understand the spirit of the law? The spirit of the law is to protect the environment, but that's why. Like 70% of everything west of the Mississippi is owned by the federal frickin' government. That's all, like, the BLM is a large shareholder of the land trust west of the Mississippi, and the BLM has been acting like a Gestapo as far as I can see. So what makes anybody on the government side right and righteous in this case just because they say the law protects the environment? Because last I checked, corporations and government ruin the environment. Individual peoples may be a little dirty, polluting. I dropped a water bottle in my travels, which is easily picked up, as opposed to I'm dumping toxic chemicals in your lake, such as when that river turned red or brown or whatever because of... was it the who was that? There was a mining
that was the Colorado River.
He's like the EPA. The EPA screwed up the Colorado River, you know, and that was the government doing. And so my point is that the government wants to go to war on people that are doing things that were perfectly acceptable any time prior. And it wasn't individuals that were causing environmental destruction. It was big state-sanctioned groups, which all that you needed to do was remove the protections of being like something like a corporation or whatever, repeal certain kinds of protective laws against others that were doing this. But instead, they just stacked another law on top of it. That's always what I'm looking at in the precedent, in the history for these things. And so I am far more sympathetic because I don't like, you know, somebody saying, well, they broke this law. But I'm like, okay, but who did they actually hurt other than what they were poaching, which is, you know, you can't poach without killing something. And I'm a I've done hunting. You know, am I going to jail for killing that raccoon? No, I'm not.
Yeah, I absolutely get exactly what you're saying, and I understand that. And they're all valid points. The issue that we're dealing with the Hammonds and the Bundys is they're not individual people. They're for-profit corporations. So this goes back to what you were talking about before with the Colorado River and some bureaucracies in our government, as well as most of the corporations that dump all of these chemicals into our water, to the extent that we have to purify our city water to bring it back to us, and the difference between drinking water and gray water and biosolids, and you don't want me to get into that. That's disgusting. But we're talking about corporations. So we're not talking about individual people who may take up maybe 5% in total of what we would consider, let's say, poaching, or, you know, going out there and hunting on the land and taking animals for their own personal gain. We're talking about corporations who are private industries for profit, who also receive up to about $500 million in subsidies that all of us pay for. That only contribute 1/5 of the total beef consumption in this country, which the rest of that we have to go and get it from Mexico, from Canada, from Australia, from New Zealand, from China. And on top of that, we pay millions and millions of dollars, tens and hundreds of millions of dollars a year to kill the predators so that these animals can continue to live without fear of being killed. There's so much going on into this. And then there is the fact that who are we talking about when they want to give the land back to the people? He's talking about loggers, he's talking about farmers, he's talking about ranchers. That's private business. So what he's saying is he wants to return the land, or he wants the land to be handed over to private corporations. And considering his familial background, I completely understand why he has a niche for that. But the people who actually own the land, quote unquote, are the Paiute, who have consistently said they want these people off the land.
Okay. All right, so the Paiute, which is a tribe, right? They're a First Nations tribe, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And that's definitely a deeper that's a much deeper issue as well. Now the Hammonds. So, who do the Bundys as well? To a certain extent. So who are they? Who are they representing? Like because there's private. So there's private businesses that on top of the wrongs of the government, there's also basically you're saying that there's also in that controlled opposition sense that there's also private business interest. Now, private business versus corporate, I personally look at as two different things, mostly just because corporate's got that issue with liability. The reason why psychopaths love corporations is because they can dump all liability on the CEO, and the CEO doesn't even give an F because the CEO almost never gets in trouble anyway. And if he does, it's usually just like fines, which is like, you know, you find, you know, you punish the CEO with like a monetary penalty. And it's like, oh, man, I can only afford 3 hot tubs and 2 private jets for Christmas this year. You know, it's like it's barely a knot. I mean, look at BP and the BP oil spill, and how much did BP and the CEO of that company suffer? You know, really, you know, they had a stock hit, and the dude and the CEO looked bad in public relations. Other than that, I don't see what went wrong. So, well, I'm getting a little far.
Here in the United States, we have several different types of corporations. You can be a sole proprietor, which means you are personally liable for everything the corporation does because you're doing it in your name. You're using your own social security number. You don't have an EIN, which is a corporate tax ID number. But other than that, you have to either be an LLC, a sub S corp, or a corporation, and there's variations of LLCs. There are, you know, limited liability corporations and things like that. The Bundy Ranch is incorporated as a corporation, which means that, and it's unfortunate in the sense that we go with what we see. So when we see ExxonMobil and we see their headquarters, you know, when I drive down into downtown Seattle, the Yahoo building and their headquarters is on a hilltop, and it's absolutely gorgeous, and you have to look at it. And I don't think of them other than that huge building and that idea that we have. When we say corporation, we all get this picture in our mind. But the Bundy Ranch, the Hammonds, they are corporations as well, which means they have to adhere, and they are liable for, and they are able to use all the loopholes that Yahoo and ExxonMobil are allowed.
Okay. Got it. That is certainly.
Can I add something in here?
Yes.
Because we're always talking that the media are very wrong on this. The alternative media, even wronger, if that's even a word, about what the leaning of these people is. Now, if somebody wants to create a business and they want that business to be backed by the government in endless subsidies for the end of time, would you call them right wing or socialist? You'd call them socialist, wouldn't you? What are these people doing out there? Well, they're trying to get some subsidies and stuff like that, aren't they? And what is the media calling them? Right wing. I think there's a little bit of confusion as to what ideology is actually going on here, bro.
That's a really good point.
All right. Did I just put a boot print in everybody's Christmas cake just now? Sorry about that.
a little bit. Plus, I had a little bit of a distraction with an important home business announcement. you know, so I had to mute my mic and listen. My dad had to pass me a message, essentially. So it's just like, make it quick. I'm on the air.
That always happens. Sometimes it'd be like my phone will ring and a and I go, this is Vinny Eastwood. I'm on the air right now. Please call back in 2 hours. Goodbye. And like, my friends think it's an answer phone message, but I don't have an answer phone, bro.
Right. It's the exact opposite of those douchebags that, you know, their voicemail is just like, hello. Then there's that pause to allow you to respond and hello.
I called a
I can't hear you. Hello. Haha, I'm just kidding. This is a voicemail. Yeah. It's just like...
I called a Muslim butcher once and went... Hello? Hello? You don't know what halal is?
Hello? Oh, God, that ain't right.
I mean, it was hilarious.
It was hilarious.
Sidetracked.
Oh, God. So yeah. Okay. That's fascinating in many respects. Now, the thing that I look at, because there's a lot of things that don't sit right with me and that do sit right with me with the situation in Oregon and the situation as it was originally with the Bundys. And I think that although there is that there is a fear and a concern because the Bundys and the Hammonds, are they corporate, like they have stock trade, or are they like private, or are they private business, or just private businesses? Are they actually corporate, like stock market options, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, I haven't looked to see if they are publicly traded, but again, people need to understand that when you file with the Secretary of State in your state, I'm sorry, I just repeated myself. In order to file your corporation, that corporation is the same as every other corporation. Whether it is publicly traded has to do with whether or not you reach a certain crescendo in your earnings, and therefore you have to go publicly traded to allow other people to have stock in your company. That's the laws with the FTC and the SEC. So, I'm sorry.
No. Okay. No. I just wanted a little bit of clarity of where it stood. Cause like I said, like for me, it's all about those liabilities though, you know, like ultimately, like, yes, anybody, whether you're an individual, a business, a business that's labeled corporate versus maybe sole proprietorship or LLC or various other, aspects of that. Look, anybody can, regardless of liabilities, you know, break a law and get away with it. It's possible, you know, individual or business, or not. I wanted to know exactly, where that stood, to see if this had a lot more to do with business battles or whatever. Because like I look at, there was a lot of criticism about how, the Bundy situation originally was handled in Nevada. And then after a couple of weeks, everything died down. Everything was fine, and obviously better than fine, especially if they've had the resources and the testicular fortitude to pick a fight instead of waiting for the next fight to be picked upon them. To say that, like, what happened in Nevada was a win, and I keep telling other quote unquote patriots, look, they made it through. You know, they're not, you know, they didn't have to pay their fine, even if the government still wants them to, or anything else. It's a win. It was something that looked good for the individual and looked bad for the government, and it looked bad for corporations too, especially for those like Chinese investors. You know, Chinese investors were most likely super pissed at Harry Reid and all the people that were selling out all that land, and there are similar shenanigans that are going on all over the place. Because I was having this, I was having this with Jason Tatenhove yesterday while talking to him about how he did with his show, and what I told him was, and this is pure speculation. I do this from time to time from gathering of what I think I know right now. And I told him, I think because this is all about selling out to China, that my imagination is that after an economic collapse, we could see, because of this labeling of basically white Christian extremists as opposed to Arab Muslim extremists, those without telling the American public that this BLM land, this American federal land that really is not supposed to belong to the feds, but it's supposed to belong to the states because the feds aren't really using it at all other than to keep it as a nature preserve, that they are selling it to China as collateral for our debt. And these Chinese investors, it looks horrible because the BLM was supposed to secure that land and all of its natural resources and location and everything else that was great about the Bundy Ranch area. And they were supposed to sell that to Chinese investors. And there's going to be something similar to that going on over in Oregon as well. I read one or two accounts of the kinds of resources that are on the land that is being occupied by the Bundys company right now. We'll be right back after the break. I want to take this break and reconstitute myself. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, a 100% listener-supported station. So please help us out, hook us up, show some love, hit that site support button, send us a check or PayPal order if you so choose. Help us continue to bring you this deprogramming. If you're supportive of me, you can go to patreon.com/ghostmachine or gofund.me/ghostmachine. Food for Liberty is our independent sponsor. I've teamed up with them to offer you a high quality, GMO free, non MSG storable food with a 25 year shelf life. You may say that your order is on the way and all reports are the food is delicious. It's all true. So get some high quality storable food. Support this show. Go to foodforliberty.com/ghost. Welcome back to Ghosts in the Machine with me, your host, Steve Travesty. Today I am having a special panel with Vinny Eastwood and Suzanne Pozell. We've been talking all about the Bureau of Land Management, the Bundys, the Hammonds, and Pete Santilli. Those four, which are all part of the same thing, which is our, which is this, this current Oregon incident, and why it's important and why it matters. And so, just before the break, I was talking, I was kind of wrapping things up in a bow about the situation, which involves the concept. In my opinion, it's speculation based on evidence that this has everything to do with the foreign shareholders in which our land is being wholesale sold to as collateral for our debts, which was definitely the evidenced case in Nevada, where the fight was brought to the Bundys, and now the Bundys are bringing the fight to the BLM. And I was just saying that, look, Nevada was a win for us. It was a win for the Bundys, and it was a win for us, the way that I see it. I think that I and Suzanne have a difference of opinion, but one that I highly respect, which is why she is here today, in the way that we just look at the evidence. And so, here we've been, and where do we want to take the conversation from here? And I am totally okay with taking phone calls in the second hour if you guys are.
Yeah, we totally can. One thing that I forgot to mention, and I'm not sure if this is just speculation at this point, is that there is apparently, and this is, I think this is breaking news actually, there's apparently a problem going on with the protesters in Oregon's GoFundMe account, which they just recently gave Pete Santilli access to. Now, Truckers Ride for the Constitution, Pete Santilli gets access to their Facebook account with 200,000 likes, and then the name of that gets changed to Guerrilla Media Network, which is Pete Santilli that he stole from me with 200,000 likes. They give him access to the PayPal account that had like $41,375 on it or something, allegedly, according to Hawk anyway. And as soon as they gave him access to that, that money disappeared. So this is just an allegation at this point. We don't know if that's actually happening as we speak in Oregon with their GoFundMe account. That was just something that I heard, and I'm not sure if you guys can confirm that for me.
That's something worth looking into, and that wouldn't surprise me, unfortunately, because I mean, like, either the Bundys are in on Pete Santilli's game or they're still naive. I don't know what for sure. I know that Jason Van Tatenhove is leaving there, I think today or something to that effect, because he's he had his mission, he had his time, he's got to get back to his family, but he's been there all weekend, and And we have, you know, our guy, and that, you know, that speaks a lot. Who is there for as long as he can be. And I'm sure that at the very least, if the Bundys are sincere, then that they may simply just be looking at Pete as just like, well, we don't trust Pete, but Pete's been here, you know, or something like that. And, you know, I just hope that those guys got a good, strong head on their shoulders, and that, it, you know, things don't go south or sideways.
Can I just offer a piece of advice? Psychopaths are really good at recruiting people, bringing them into the fold. Yes. And the way that they do that is by telling you everything you want to hear and claiming that they can provide everything that you need. That's so that you will trust them enough, or at least tolerate them enough, so that they can get on and get what they want from you. Once they have extracted what they want from you, they disappear and or try to destroy you so that you can't expose them. Or won't expose them. It's the same thing that Pete Santilli did to myself and Suzanne Posel. The amount of abuse, false articles, and things like that, all complete fabrications, total lies. It's just, have you ever listened to a president speak and try to, like, just sit there with a little counter, a little tally chart or something, and just go, that's a lie, that's a lie, that's a lie, that's a lie? By the end of the speech, there's, like, hundreds of lies that you can easily disprove. Just like that, if you were so inclined, if you could really be bothered spending that much time showing each and every lie the person's saying, that's what it's like for us watching a Pete Santilli video. That's right. What it's like for us reading his articles about us.
Yeah, precisely. I think the way that they get away with that, being somebody who is kind of like sat there and, you know, sometimes just gets like just gets like almost a sense of physical nausea listening to anything, any sponsored statement on mainstream media, meaning that, like, it's either, you know, it's an endorsed thought by like the talking head, or by the political pundit, or the politician.
I think we're talking about something far worse than that. What we're talking about is civil harassment. It's a criminal behavior which is either violent or abusive or stalking in a way that is completely uncomfortable for the person who is the victim, and yes, also completely unjustified by the perpetrator. Now, this is Pete Santilli's modus operandi, and I actually wanted to go to Suzanne Posel on this, because whatever abuse Pete Santilli has given me, whatever defamation, whatever character assassination he's done to me, is nothing by comparison to what he has done to her, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, Suzanne, if you wouldn't mind actually elaborating onto some of the things after you split from Pete Santilli when you were doing the Bunker news break, and you and I were involved together in this, and the kind of things that he did to you, the sort of things that he put up about you, the websites and everything he created.
Oh, he purchased SuzannePosel.com, which, because I'm a public figure, I was able to take or have it taken down because it's my name and my name is my property. But he went on Blogspot and put it back up, and I can't get Google to take it down. It's full of gross misinterpretations of events, lies, complete fabrication. He had people attack my website to the extent where I melted the servers, and I was on a shared server with 1&1 hosting. I was no longer allowed to host my website on their servers. They didn't even let me go to another server. They didn't want anything to do with me. And that was just one of four meltdowns. The worst, my website was down for 3 weeks while people were repairing it, and I was lucky enough that someone offered to put my website on their private server. And that's when the attack stopped, by the way, because they couldn't get through to that server to attack me. Since then, my husband has learned lots and lots about protecting your website. And I do have my own server now, which is highly protected. But he spoofed my email, which is one of the things that he did. And I didn't realize he did this until one of the emails bounced back to my email address. And when I read the email, I was mortified. He had sent this to every one of my contacts. So effectively, nobody in the industry would talk to me And why would they? Because if they had read this email, they wouldn't talk to me either. I contacted my hosting company and asked them how this could be done, and that's when I learned about spoofing. It's very easy. It's an easy hack that, a basic hacker could do. But the devastating effects was all of the relationships that I'd made with people in the industry for 3 or 4 years were completely destroyed. And I wasn't even given the opportunity to give my side of the story and show the evidence that I didn't send this email, which I had evidence. My hosting company even had admitted in an email that the emails that were sent out did not originate from my server. So it's obvious I didn't send them. And he put a picture. He went to Google Earth, got the address to a house that we were renting in Oregon at the time. And
where you were living with your children and posted that the address and the photo of his house and encouraged people to go there and shoot you.
Yes. And in the photo was a picture of my husband and my son fixing a car. My daughter at the time was an infant. And so, yes, I reported him to, we had to report him to the local precinct where he lived. We had to report him to our precinct. We reported him to DHS and the FBI for cyberstalking. We have all the documentation. We tried to get a hold of SuzannePozel.com and offered to pay for it, but he wouldn't take the offer until the money was cleared in his bank, and then he would release the .com. He didn't want to do an even exchange, so obviously, and we had to go a legal route in order to even get to that point. It was harrowing. It was a harrowing 2 years, almost 2 years of my life. And if I had it to do over again, Vinny, I wouldn't have made that damn video with you.
No, I mean, I wouldn't have either. I mean, And I think in retrospect, we sort of made a mistake, and we're continuing to make this same mistake as if we're committed to doing the wrong thing for us because it's the right thing to do for everybody else. And we wouldn't have actually been able to expose Pete Santilli or research Pete Santilli or even survive Pete Santilli's attacks and all of this stuff if it weren't for the fact that he screwed both of us over simultaneously and brought us together. Because what he was trying to do to you is what a predator does to an animal out of a herd. They have to try and separate from them from the herd and isolate them so that they can come and tear their throat out. And, you know, who knows what kind of consequences would there have been for either you or me if we hadn't been there for each other?
Oh, absolutely. Out of everyone in the industry that I have ever known, Vinny is my best friend. I would trust him. I would leave my children with him and go out to dinner, and I don't do that with just about anybody, and I'm willing to pay babysitters. Vinny has been there for me, with me, along the journey. And like you said, we do this because Pete Santilli is actually really dangerous. And it's not like a cliche, like, oh, yeah, no, he actually really is. He has a history of this going way back, all the way to the 80s. And he's not going to stop. And now he's playing G.I. Joe, and he thinks he's a militiaman. And the damage that he's doing to these movements as he gets involved with them, it is obvious. They end up being in tatters. They end up not with the direction that they should have gone, where both sides are compensated and everybody walks away happy. There's still animosity. There's no compromise. There's no coming to an understanding. And that's really what he likes. He likes having that, because that breeds the situation that we might have going on right now in Oregon, where people are grossly miseducated, and their fears and their emotions are racked up and used against them to get them to do things that they may not do under normal circumstances.
No,
that is true. But I think that it's fair to say that, like, Pete Santilli is throwing fuel on the fire, but he didn't start the fire. Not that I'm quoting Billy Joel or anything, but the fire, you know, the fire was already there, and there was they felt a need to respond. And then Pete Santilli comes in, and then adds extra issues on top of it, in which is very, very deceptively agreeable, because, you know, he builds trust with you, and then you make the mistake of going on that trust and doing things and doing incredibly risky things, because at the end of the day, you are talking about your antithetical relationship to the government, which is serious business. You know, you can end up jailed, dead, or have all of your resources shut down on you. And it does end up being suspect as to why those things don't happen. You know, we've talked about, you know, Pete Santilli, you know, the war on terror, ISIS and Al-Qaeda, well-funded, well-organized, you know, to the point where the only reason why they can stand up against organized militaries is because they have an organized resource chain, which those terrorist groups' enemies are not going after. Nobody's going after their supply lines. Nobody's going after their oil. Nobody's going after their drugs. Nobody's going after their food, their water, or anything like that. They have bases of operation that we know where they are. And that is kind of the strange parallel, with the major exception that this is a local national issue with Americans who are Christian on American land, and the whole dispute is about the status of that American land. Is it state land? Is it federal land? Is it forgive me, because I'd never heard the tribe's name before, but that tribe's land, what was their name?
The Paiute.
The Paiute, because if the Paiute still exist, then in my opinion, yeah, give it back to the Paiute, because I trust the Paiute. And if the Bundys weren't being infiltrated by Pete Santilli, I would trust them more. I trust them more than I trust the government, but at the same time, it is fair. It is fair to say, because unfortunately, the association with Pete Santilli, even if it weren't, even without Revolution Radio being what seems to be the only source in alternative news that's ousting this this fake alternative news guy, Pete Santilli, the Bundys keep working with him and making it easier for him. They can kick
Steve,
him out.
Steve, you underestimate how exceptional Pete Santilli is at lying and manipulating. Suzanne, how long did you work with him? Over a year?
No, just about a year.
She worked with him for just about a year. At any point, did you suspect what he was?
No, and I'm telling you, I spend almost every day on Skype calls with him and Susanna, who likes to call herself Deborah now. I spoke to him basically 6 or 7 days out of a week. I mean, I knew this guy very well. I thought I did. It took me by surprise. But when someone says to you, this person who has devoted 5 years of their life to a project, they're going to walk away and hand it to me, I'm a reasonable, logical person. I'm going to say no, and I'm going to go to that person and say, is this true? And if it is, why would you do that? You invested 5 years of your life into something. Why would you throw it away now? That is the reason why Vinny and I broke off, because what he was doing was taking over, because Vinny's in New Zealand. What is Vinny going to do? And that's not right. We have to have ethics. We have to respect each other's craft. If we want to get involved with each other, we can do so, but we have to respect the originator of the whatever it is, whether it's a group, a consortium of people, or it's a radio station. We have to show each other respect. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be critical or call each other out on things that maybe, you know, smell like horse manure. There's a respectful way to do that as well.
There absolutely is, and Pete Santilli does nothing respectful, but the point I was trying to make here is, even a journalist with Suzanne Posel's credibility, her ability to sniff out the truth, find documents, and all of that kind of stuff, her suspicion was not even raised for almost a year. That is how exceptional a liar he is. So I don't think we can judge anybody who likes Pete Santilli and dismisses what we're saying or anything like that, because I found that the lies are always more powerful than the truth, because you can simply create another one when the first one falls on its place. All right, you know, whereas you can tell the truth and you can tell it only once, and people will deny it, first of all, because they don't want to believe it. And secondly, Pete Santilli will lie about it and they'll believe him. And as soon as they come up with another question, he'll lie again. He has an infinite reservoir. He is the Hoover Dam of lies. What we want to do is bust that dam right open and wash away his scumbaggery with the truth. I don't know if it's possible, but I owe it to my brothers in America to try, because I will not stand by and see anybody, veteran or soldier or militia, be taken advantage of by scum like this. Not the way he did it to us.
And that is exactly why I got you guys on my show today. We're going to take more break.
We'll be right back.
We are here today, final half hour of the show. I've got Vincent Eastwood and Suzanne Posel. We are talking about Pete Santilli, as well as the Bundys, the Hammonds, and the Bureau of Land Management, and all of the other actors involved in this current Liberty standoff, if you will, and the dire importance of trust and dealing with the flagrant lies of psycho and sociopaths.
Well, not only flagrant lies, but also fragrant, because they stink.
Mm.
I mean, like, they're not even good, clever lies, and it's like, this is the thing that people don't understand about sociopathic criminal scum, okay? They've got very, very little creativity. You accuse them of one thing, that's the truth. The only thing they can do is accuse you of that thing and do the direct opposite of the truth. They can't come up with original lies or schemes or anything like that like a creative person can. They can only tell you the direct opposite of the truth. They can take what's the truth and invert it and turn it back on you. That's where their skill set ends. So whenever you hear Pete Santilli talk about anything, about anybody in a negative light, you can basically be rest assured that you can change everything that he's saying into the direct opposite of what it sounds like, and that's closer to the truth. So if he's saying, oh, I've got all these federal agents out after me and they're making up all this fake stuff and lying, etc., it's because he's a federal agent who's making up a whole bunch of fake stuff and lying. You see how simple that is?
Yeah, precisely. That's the, you know, the first thing you want to do is accuse your enemy of your own crimes. That's always the first thing that you do, because then everybody else who's listening, the first thing they said was, oh, you're just repeating what he said and turning it around on him. People are banking that the public is more interested in your originality than they are with getting the facts straight. So if you just take somebody else's information that was, and putting it back into a juxtaposition because you can show that the truth is that he is the one. My accuser is the one whom I'm accusing of what I'm being accused of. The public saying, well, that wasn't original, because they're grossly missing the point.
Well, the public is missing the bus and the point. And look, statistically speaking, half of all people are dumber than the average person. Okay, think about how dumb the average American is. All right, then you've got half of people even dumber than that. This is a very scary prospect that we're dealing with. So, personally, I have decided to not go after the target audience of people who have an IQ lower than 100, who have an attention span lower than 2 hours, and who are incapable of self-analysis to realize whether or not they're wrong about things, who are so arrogant as to believe that their first assumption with no evidence is completely and 100% correct and will never question it. Okay, those people I'm not interested in at all, because they don't matter. They're part of the 90% of human beings that are under mind control, who are quite likely to never question whether or not they're under mind control, and therefore very unlikely to ever get their own minds sorted. So their opinion matters very little to me. The vast majority of people bore me, do not interest me, and they do not inspire me, they do not encourage me, and they do not help me. Therefore, they are not worth my time. Okay, and everybody should apply this in their own life. If that person is not helping you out in any way, shape, or form, and they're not helping you to be a better person, and they're not willing to accept the truth, either about something else or about themselves, if they're unable to reason, they are a waste of your time. Now, when it comes to discussing Pete Santilli, the only people who argue with us on this after they review evidence and things like that are part of that 90% of people who cannot think for themselves, right? And that's unfortunate. They might possibly go back on themselves and reevaluate at some point, just as we had to, and usually in quite a painful way. Understand that you're wrong about Pete Santilli. Understand that he lied to you, that you believed his lies, but that's all right. Nobody's perfect. Nobody is omniscient. You don't know everything. You can't possibly know everything. But what you should do, just as a measure of responsibility, is ensure that you do at least a modicum of research into people you donate money to, support, and abuse the detractors of. Okay? At least know who the F you are talking about before you give them money, defend them, or support them. That's all I'm saying. And we've provided the research because, let's face it, myself and Suzanne Posel are currently the leading experts on Pete Santilli. Now, we're having another caller call in. I believe it's Eagle Eye. Eagle Eye, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you, Vinny. Appreciate that. How are things going today?
Well, you know, we're just sipping back the Pete Santilli and getting some of that refreshing shell taste.
Aha, that scumbaggery, Santilli. Right, the scumbaggery.
Oh, man. Yeah, I've said for a long time that actually when it comes to the word scumbaggery, it's a very catch-all term that actually does really describe almost all forms of real evil, sociopathic, psychopathic, or simply bad behavior. And yeah, I've been studying scumbaggery for 10 years, and when it comes to Pete Santilli, I've never seen anything like this. You know, I mean, like, seriously, yeah. His scumbaggery level is like over 9,000, bro.
And I've been hearing what's happening, you know, with Suzanne and stuff. I mean, it's just true evil. I mean, it's just unfortunate, you know, that the person still walks, you know. So what can we do? You know, maybe Steve's got some ideas. What do you think, Steve?
Well, this all has to do with having much, much more local involvement.
There you go.
Getting to know you and your community and everything. And because we've got far too many people that are disengaged. They're completely disengaged with what's going on right around them. And so they are, you know, they entirely just don't, they don't want to be organized. They don't want to rally. And so there's an exploitation coming from the very, very few people that are taking care of business and trying to do the right thing and doing their best to rally, an army of people that want to stand up for their, that stand up for their rights, to stand against, evil corporations, evil governments, and evil Pete Santillis everywhere,
and people in general want to do the right thing, and that's really our nature, is to do the right thing. But when, you get penetration of evil like that, they send
guys, I'll stop you both right there. You're right. Most people want to do the right thing. That's why they don't see it coming. Pete Santilli will do things to you that you would never even dream of doing to a human being. Okay? That's why you don't suspect it. That's why it comes out from the blind side. That's why you can work with them and be with them for a long extended period of time without having any inkling that there's something wrong with this guy. Okay? That's the thing. Human beings operate under the illusion that we are an alpha predator. Okay? That we have no natural predators. I respectfully disagree. I think that for the expanse of history, human beings, ordinary human beings, have been the prey of alpha predators that have come to be known by the title of psychopath. And these creatures have existed for a long time. They're not strictly human in the purest sense of the word. There's many things that define us as human, like having empathy, emotions, that are kind, love, caring, creativity, these kind of things which a psychopathic personality does not have. They simply do not have what it takes to be human. And that is why we cannot recognize them. That's why they're so good at infiltrating our kind. You can't fight against yourself.
Yeah, and that's right. And when you've got a limited pool, like, unfortunately, it becomes the thing of, you start kind of ignoring smaller injustices of the people that, are duping you out of the unfortunate need. When the Bundy Ranch happened the first time around, Jer Bear was our emissary. I love Jer Bear, but it was just Jer Bear, and he had a very, very limited capacity to help and to influence. Now we've got Jason Van Tatenhove over there this time around, and it's still just one guy on a supremely shoestring budget, and it's like you can go with Pete Santilli, who's got the resources to be dependable, because when you're doing something like what the Bundys are doing, you are going to want to have one broadcast, at least one strong broadcast point on your side. So that way you are not in a black hole where tyranny can thrive. Because if you didn't have anything along those lines, you'd likely be dead or in prison from the army of federal agents that would want to come after you. But when you've got a spotlight shed, you can continue to talk about what's really going on. You can't mischaracterize, misrepresent somebody who also has a strong voice, can articulate their grievances, can stand behind what they are doing. Unfortunately, the mainstream media lives in a very, very black and white world, almost like literally along ethnic lines. The white Republicans versus the black Democrats. It kind of feels that way.
So it's the demo blacks.
The demo blacks and the Republic whites, or the Whitekins, or I don't know what the hell you're gonna call them.
The Whitekins.
I gotta say something. If Suzanne's children were at stake here, and she put up that website, and there were threats to her family, I mean, someone draw the line there, and that line was drawn, and that's evil, and that's psychopath. Vinny, do you agree? I mean, This is important that we bring this to the
It's not so much as cut and dry as that, but I'm going to tentatively yes. I mean, who else but a psychopath would want a mother and her children to be killed and they had posed no threat to them? Not physically, not whatsoever.
Such a nice person too, who's nice here on the planet, helping the world.
Okay, so we overuse in our society the word evil. You know, like Monsanto's evil, David Rockefeller's evil. While true, we use the word as if we know the definition, as if we know what evil looks like, what
it sounds like, what it does. Evil backwards? I mean, aren't we living evil? Live evil?
Well, I mean, semantically, sure.
Yeah, but we're not but, spelling right now. We're just talking. This is pure phonetics. This isn't spellcraft.
But again, as I say, you need to suffer more. All right, I want to tentatively say this to absolutely everybody in the audience. You need to suffer more at the hands of psychopaths. It will be traumatic. It will be horrible. You won't like it, and you will wish that it never happened to you, but you need this to happen to you so that you know what it is you are dealing with. But at the same time, just remember the tactics. If you're going to go after one of these psychopaths, like myself and Suzanne Posel have, they do not go down easily. You have cornered a very, very aggressive, poorly raised pit bull. It will bite into you, and it will not let go. And the only time when you can expect that it will stop is when it is dead. Do you understand? This is how aggressive psychopaths are. This is the commitment that they have to destroying things that they perceive to be a threat. Psychopaths only fear two things. Only two. Exposure, so that people know who they are before they even open their mouth, and worse, psychopaths. I believe Pete Santilli is working for worse psychopaths at the FBI, and that's how they frightened him into working for them, and he's being exposed by us on the other side. I think his time is running out, and I can only hope that it runs out as quickly as possible and that no Patriot lives get lost in the process. Now, Suzanne, I believe you have something to add in here. Am I mistaken?
It's a horrible thing to have to go through, and it makes you a better person for it. I'm in a position now where I don't worry. I'm in a completely different world, so I'm not frightened anymore. I don't feel intimidated to speak out, whereas before I would say something, I would go on a radio show, and then something terrible would happen. I'd get DDoS and melting of servers, and all sorts of crap would start to happen. None of that happens now. I'm fully protected, and I feel the self-confidence to go out there and be honest, because you need to know this. You need to understand, if you have a righteous cause and you have a virus inside the system, it doesn't matter. It's like the ingredients that we use inside processed foods. You know, fast food could be healthy, but it's not, because of all the chemicals that we use and all of the processed foods that it goes into making that fast food. It's the same thing with Santilli. He's an ingredient in the Truth or the Patriot or whatever movement you want to call it, and he is corrosive, and he will cause damage, and he will walk away with money, possessions, fame, and do it again.
They have very simple desires. They don't desire things like, for example, me, I desire friends. I desire to be understood. I desire to be loved, and I desire to be treated as an equal, and I desire to fill my destiny, right? To become a better man every day. Those are what ordinary human desires sound like.
Those are good quality human traits.
A psychopath has predominantly only three desires: money, power over other people, and sex. Beyond that, they're not really interested, and won't show much commitment to others. And the only way that they can really express themselves is through aggression. That's the only time when you really see emotion, or when they are faking that emotion in order to manipulate you.
Right, because they don't have those inherent qualities, but they understand that everybody else does, and they get into, like, you want to understand this really, really, really well. I'm going to geek out a pinch on you here. If you've got Netflix, go watch the Jessica Jones miniseries. It's 13 episodes that you will thank yourself for watching. David Tennant, who was the 10th doctor, I think. Well, he was one of the doctors. He was the second in the reboot of the series, but he's still part of the continuity, whatever. That's not important. David Tennant plays a guy called Kilgrave. I forget his full name, but he plays a supervillain called the Purple Man. He has one superpower and only one superpower. He tells you to do something and you do it. That's literally it. He will tell you to bash your head against the wall until you die. And you will do it. You will just bash your head ad nauseum, whatever. He will tell you, shoot that guy, and you will just go. You'll pick up a gun and you will shoot them. You will follow accurately against your will, yet of your will, a command ad nauseum, and he's completely devoid of any empathy. So you watch this show, and the whole series is about abuse. The whole series is about what it's like, you know, to be terrorized by a human being whom you are powerless over. And, you know, the psychopath gets off on a certain adrenal rush that comes from this. You go watch Jessica Jones, and you go and you watch this Purple Man character, David Tennant's character. It is one of the most compelling villains that I've ever seen, on screen.
Yeah, and apart from when Pete Santilli is doing a live cast, of course.
Apart from when Pete Santilli, he may just be the Purple Man. I don't know. It's quite possible.
Archon.
Me and Suzanne, when we were creating a video last night about this.
Archons have way more supernatural abilities than just do as I say. Because a lot of, you know, an Archon isn't always about do what I say and then you do it. You know, because we're talking about, like, you know.
No. They have the ability to create a complete false reality and then suck you into it. Like, it's like a holographic projection that they can manipulate your eyesight, your thoughts, and things like that. So you would look at Pete Santilli, and anybody with, you know, ears that hear and eyes that see could see scumbaggery, right? Yes, but because he emits an aura that is counterpoint to that, it's very little that you can do to defend yourself against him, and that's why we've committed to exposing him.
Okay, so that's it. Suzanne Posel, Vinny Eastwood, put out your information. We're all done. Thank you, Eagle Eye, for calling in.
No problem.
OccupyCorporatism.com for Suzanne Posel, and the Vinny Eastwood Show .com for me. Thanks, Steve, and thanks, Eagle Eye, and thanks to Revolution Radio and Nighthawk as well.
Thank you, everybody. I will see you tomorrow. Peace out.